We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Guardsman Tree Lot at Fort Mason. You're listening to Damon Bruce and Ray Ratto on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by BMW Fairfield.
Means an awful lot to me that this station helps me support my favorite charity to the point where they even made us a specific open for the show. Wow. Thank you very, very much. And welcome, Damon and Ratto. Indeed, we are coming to you from the Guardsman Tree Lot. We're down at Fort Mason in the Festival Pavilion, and I'll just raise the green light right now. I guess it's wave the green flag. First person to come down here and say, Damon, give me a tree, gets a free Christmas tree. Boom. How about that? 6 to 7 to 8 foot tree. That's about it. We're not going to give you one of the big, Danielle Steel trees in the back, which are like 30 feet tall. Can't give you one of those. But a reasonably sized Christmas tree, the first person to come on down and say, Ratto, put a Christmas tree in my stocking, gets one. Or we'll come up with the face.
Don't involve me in this. This is yours.
Good to see you, though. Thank you very much for coming on down, Ray. We got a good one for you today. It is really good to be here. Thanks so much to the Guardsmen for having us. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for helping us send thousands of kids to summer camp. Make sure hundreds of kids get fully funded scholarships at schools that they would otherwise not be able to attend. That's what we do. We help Bay Area at-risk youth. We've been around since 1947, and I've been a proud member of this group since 2011, so 10 years. We've been doing 10 shows about here, you know, give or take a pandemic or two along the way. But, Ray, is this your third Guardsman Tree Lot already, or your second?
I believe it's my second.
All right. Well, it would have been third if we didn't have a little pandemic in the way. By the way, not to start today on a bad note or anything, but you can see that the Thanksgiving get-together has officially now, what, 2-3 weeks later, created a COVID spike around the world, which is affecting sports greatly, particularly the NBA. It seems like every team has got something to do, including Ja Morant entering COVID protocols today. The Bulls right now have four players, including DeMar DeRozan, who was just named the player of the week, for goodness sakes. You got four Charlotte Hornets. The Dallas Cowboys were taken out by it. So be careful. Come down here. Wear masks. We have proof of vaccination to come on in and enjoy a little Christmas merriment here on 95.7 The Game. It is really good. Thanks so much to Tim Jordan for getting us all set up. Lucas, thank you for getting us all set up. Thanks to Matt Nahagian for getting us all set up, and Guardsman Tree Lot, and our czar of the tree lot really helped us set up. And look at it this way. We got a nice little set almost here. If you're watching us on the YouTube or the Twitch, you will see we are sitting in front of a good old-fashioned fire truck. It's got the logo on it. Things are nice. We used to have it looked like a casting couch situation a couple years ago. This is an upgrade.
Wait, the Twitch, the YouTube?
The Twitch,
are
the
you
YouTube.
Are you literally trying to paint yourself as a 94-year-old man in a park?
I'm comfortable that way. It fits.
It doesn't fit that much. But no, you could say Twitch, you can say YouTube. Even I can do that, and I'm 90 years older than you are.
Drop the. It's cleaner. It's cleaner. We have an awful lot to get into today. K'Wan Williams of the San Francisco 49ers is going to be joining us. Cam Inman's going to be weighing in on who's going to be healthy enough to be on to Cincinnati before it's all said and done. We're going to get you to Warriors Live around 5:30 tonight, a Steve Kerr replay. We're going to talk to Casey Hodall, who is covering the Portland Trailblazers, who are coming into town. Ray, an absolute mess of a basketball team from the front office to the bench. It is all wrong. Their starting backcourt won't be there tonight. I mean, you're going to beat the Portland Trailblazers more often than not when Dame Lillard nor CJ McCollum are playing.
Yeah, Portland's screwed tonight. The only question is whether the Warriors will fully exert themselves in hopes of getting some of their high-minute guys some rest.
Well, you know, there's one high-minute guy that I'm sure under normal circumstances would get rest in blowout scenarios, but it's not normal circumstances tonight. Steph Curry's got the angel on his shoulder that is a team-first guy that probably wants to go ahead and get as much rest before this team hits a very significant road trip by not playing in a fourth quarter if unnecessary. And on the other shoulder is the devil that is the showman, who has a chance to make NBA history at home, as long odds as it feels. You know, the only thing you got to do is break the record of most threes ever hit in a game by two to have the record over Ray Allen tonight. It's not out of the realm of the possibility, though, as we've been talking about all week. That's who he is. That's how good he is. That's the man's reputation. He's the only person in the history of this sport that has a realistic expectation, Ray, of doing something that's never been done before if the category is shooting a basketball.
The only thing that makes me completely sure that this can't happen is the fact that Portland doesn't have Lillard or McCollum. That means the amount of minutes that will matter are greatly reduced. And Steve Kerr, who, you know, said he can either be a villain or a jerk, knows that, you know, this is not, he's not going to win this, so he may as well just do the prudent thing. And if it comes to fruition that Curry only plays 26 minutes, he'll do that. Because the long-term thing is Curry's getting the record. He'll either get it in Philadelphia on Saturday or he'll get it in Indiana on Sunday. So the record becomes profoundly irrelevant for Kerr. It might matter some to Curry, but he knows he's getting it somewhere.
Right. It's not an issue of if. It is a matter of when. Could it be tonight at Chase Center? Look, here's the one thing we know that is going to happen at Chase Center tonight. It's Star Wars night. So, you know, who shot first? Guido, Han Solo, or Steph Curry? We'll find out how many threes this guy... I'll tell you what, the entire record hinges on the first quarter. If Curry comes out and he knocks down like 6 to 8 threes in the first quarter, if that happens, there will be an element of it could happen. But I looked this up today. On the night where Klay Thompson set the NBA record of 14 threes in a single game, he was out of that game by about the 5-minute mark of the third quarter. So you can hit a young teenager amount of threes in less than three quarters if you're a splash brother on a heater. It has happened. Is it something you'd want to go put next week's mortgage payment on? No.
No, I think you should put next week's mortgage payment on it, because that's how you get to find out why gambling is evil.
It is, well,
but no,
it,
I,
but fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's fun in the short term, and then when you're eating out of a dumpster, it stops being quite so jolly.
We are brought to you by BMW Fairfield, now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com to book your visit today. Like you said, the Warriors are going to get to Indianapolis on this road trip. The Pacers right now are looking to blow it up, and Warrior fans are talking about what could be on that team that could improve this Warriors team. Ray and I are going to get into that a little bit later on. For the 49ers, it's on to Cincinnati for real. Not just a saying of we got another game to play. It's really on to Cincinnati, which means a date with Ja'Marr Chase, who began the year as the breakout rookie of the year candidate. It's not going to be his anymore. Mac Jones basically has that sewn up as much as the three-point record will be Curry's. Mac Jones is going to be the rookie of the year in the NFL. There's very little doubt about it. But Ja'Marr Chase would like to get himself back into that conversation. He had a smashing September. He had a couple of good games in October. And the league made an adjustment to him. I don't know how much of an adjustment the 49ers are going to be able to make, because they're so banged up in the secondary. It's something that we're going to talk to Kaywan Williams about a little bit later on this afternoon. But this is a huge game for the 49ers, obviously. It's a measuring stick against another team that is holding on to the back end of the AFC playoff picture. The 49ers are the back end of the NFC playoff picture. We'll tell you about the other games coming up in Week 14 in the NFL that are going to greatly affect the 49ers' chances of reaching the promised land. What they do when they get there, who knows, if they even get there.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that the Bengals have here is this has been, you know, a run of difficult games against tough teams, and that's why they've lost three of their last five. And after this, it's at Denver, Baltimore, Kansas City, at Cleveland. Those are fist in the throat games too. So they are, you know, they're in a position where they need this to reestablish their place, but it's not a secure place because their schedule is not nearly as easy as some of the other contenders in the AFC.
First person to come on down and say, Damon, give me a Christmas tree, gets a Christmas tree here from the Guardsman Tree Lot. 8 feet and under is where we're pretty much going with that. Can't have one of the Danielle Steel trees. Sorry, can't get the Diane Feinstein tree. But you can go ahead and pick up a really beautiful Christmas tree. We got all the accoutrements for your holidays. We got wreaths, garland, all sorts of ornaments that you would need. Everything that you would need for your holiday can be found right here, including Ray Ratto, who we said will be signing flat objects and babies only today. Possibly even including my own baby. Jillian's coming on down with Ozzy a little bit later on. We'll get you a nice...
Bring him over. I'll
Sharpie.
I'll inscribe my name on his forehead with an architect's pen.
Nice. It sounds a little brutal, but, you know, at least it'll stay with him.
Then don't bring kids around me. That's the price you pay.
You've been warned, everybody. It's the holiday spirit here on 95.7 The Game. It's great to have you along. It's good to be down here. We've got an awful lot to get into. The Portland Trailblazers are begging for the Warriors to get into them because they're just in a bad situation right now. Tiger Woods is finding himself in a better situation. We're going to get to that. And the NBA is giving us a brand new all-fat team, first team all-NBA fat. Two young up-and-comers now join that team. So we're going to talk about that before it's all said and done today. Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game. We're brought to you by AC Transit. Find a career with great benefits and work-life balance to do what you love. Well, AC Transit is hiring journey-level mechanics and service employees. Join their East Bay team to maintain AC Transit's fleet of buses. Apply today at actransit.org/careers. Damon and Ratto from the Guardsman Tree Lot here on 95.7 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by BMW Fairfield. Now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit.
Welcome back. Damon and Ray here live from the Guardsman Tree Lot on 95.7 The Game. We are brought to you by the Livermore Casino, located on First Street in, Ray, guess where?
Livermore.
Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. It's like the alley-oop of tosses. It really is. It's easy working with you. But yeah, you're right.
I was going to go with Manteca.
No. Livermore it is. Livermore it is. We have an awful lot to get into today. In 40 minutes from now, we're going to talk to K'Wan Williams going inside the 49ers locker room to find out what this secondary is going to do against a big threat offense. I mean, that's what the Bengals have. The Bengals are there to push the ball. I mean, that built around big plays is what they are. It's almost the philosophical opposite of what the 49ers have, but the 49ers might not be able to just lean into their philosophy because we're talking about Jamichael Hasty is your guaranteed to be their running back. Everyone else, including Deebo Samuel, is still a question mark, and he's not even a running back, but we know he'll get some snaps at running back if that's what they need to do. We still got protocols for Elijah Mitchell, and we will find out whether or not Williams goes or not. So there is a huge question mark. Jeff Wilson Jr. But it's still a big question mark as to who the 49ers are even going to be showing up in Cincinnati with.
Yeah, but I think that's sort of how they've been living the last couple of years. And they've held serve this year with, you know, completely different lineups here and there. I mean, just one of the things that Kyle Shanahan can be credited with is that the injuries haven't ruined him the way they did last year. So he's been sort of, I think he's been more creative just in keeping rosters together. But no, it's been another injury, you know, dotted year. But this is a year in which everybody's been that. So, you know, the question stops becoming, how hurt are you? It's, well, what are you going to do about it?
You know, the 49ers, as we've said earlier, you can't win in this league by asking your quarterback to do the least amount possible for 17 weeks in a row. But you also can't win by asking your quarterback to be a magic man 17 weeks in a row. And I think that's where an awful lot of the frustration about what Kyle Shanahan's offense never really materialized as, it comes from. At least I think it my frustrations with it. Maybe it's the most disappointing aspect of the Shanahan era is that there's not a lot of offensive balance. Like, you would think that a team that is just running the ball as often as the 49ers do, basically inviting defenses into the box to stop that, where the other defense is now daring you to make a throw. I mean, when teams dare you to throw, every now and then you have to take that dare just to keep the defense honest, just to keep those other coaches thinking it could happen. It's why Bill Belichick threw the ball four times in Buffalo. That was his dare. Like, he just did it to keep them honest. That, to me, is the ultimate frustrating thing, is that Kyle Shanahan, who came into town with his offensive genius card, has never been able to find what I would call offensive balance. And now maybe you can bring up a list of stats from a sample size of games that say, well, look at this. This is the balance you're looking for. This is more of a feeling than it might even be a statistical reality in my mind.
Well, it's, you know, your feeling is perfectly valid for you, but the 49ers aren't built that way. I mean, if you're talking balance now, you're talking like 62% passing, 38% running. The 49ers are closer to 50-50. At least they have been when they've been really good. And you have to win the way you win. It's not that complicated. This is what you've got. You don't have a high dynamic quarterback. So you do what he can do best, and that is hand the ball off. I mean, you know, Ryan Tannehill, you know, benefited hugely when Derrick Henry was healthy because he ran 30 times a game. The Rams went to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff when they were giving the ball to Todd Gurley a lot. So you basically, the question of balance is like the question about style points. It's, you got to win the game.
But
now, what you're talking about, I think, I don't mean to interrupt, but what you're talking about more is roster construction. And by that, I mean, you know, they went and drafted Trey Lance with the idea that in a couple of years they could be maybe a more dynamic-looking offense. But the offensive line is also significantly better blocking for the run than it is the pass. And if you have a run-blocking offensive line and you want to throw the ball a lot, you're going to get your quarterback hurt.
Two questions. Why do you think they abandoned what is basically the shotgun formation in Seattle to put Jimmy back under center and then really not get anything out of play action? As much as they run the ball, as focused as you have to be on their running game, it invites two play action shots a half, you would think. These are shots this team does not take.
No, and I think that's a choice. I think they look at play action and they go, you know what? That doesn't help us.
How can you be the one team in football that play action doesn't benefit?
If you've constructed your roster in such a way that that's either counterproductive or doesn't give you much of a push.
But the whole roster is constructed to be a power running game. Nothing says we can hit play action plays like a power running game.
Okay. You can do one of two things. you can have Deebo Samuel as a dangerous guy wherever he gets the ball, whether it's handing off or a pitch out or a throw to the sideline, whatever.
Right, anywhere.
Yeah. Or you can, you know, just run a straight power game. They are trying to be creative with a running game. That's where they've committed themselves. They haven't committed themselves to the idea that we're going to throw 35 times a game, because that's not who they are. That's not who Kyle Shanahan believes they are. In a couple of years, they might very well be that, but this is who they are now, because you've seen this over and over and over again. At some point, it becomes a simple matter of, this is what he wants.
Ray, I don't mean to interrupt our really good 49ers conversation, but I need to let everyone listening know that we have our winner. First person to come on down for a tree has officially arrived. There he is. Don't you move. Don't you move a muscle.
You move. You're out.
Well, no
tree for you.
You can move a little. I'll tell you what. Why don't you go find a tree, the one that you like. Make sure it's not that much taller than you. And then come on back here, and we'll make sure you're all set up. What's your name? Paulie One Star. I'm giving him a 4-star review right now. He's a listener. Paulie One Star.
He's a bad restaurant with feet.
You got to like Paulie One. Do you know him?
No.
Oh. I don't know.
Yeah. He came in, he gave us an alias, and he's leaving with a tree. I what else do you know?
I like it. I like Paulie One Star. That's a man who thinks highly of himself, or not nearly enough of himself. But Paulie One Star is our winner. He gets the tree today. Maybe we'll do it in the 5 o'clock hour again. Just throwing that out there. Maybe people leaving work will be able to swing on by. But it is on to Cincinnati. Whatever the 49ers show up with, whatever power running game, whatever trickery, whatever straight up, we're playing no tricks today. It's just going to be nasty trench warfare football, because that's really what they're good at. We'll find out. We'll find out how Ja'Marr Chase makes that adjustment back to the league, too. He's got to be, and this is something that we were talking about with Michael Irvin just yesterday. You know, what did you think when you were looking at the back of a cornerback depth chart? Did you think free supper? And he said something that needs to be said at all times. The worst roster member of any professional team across any professional sport is so much better at their job and what they do for a living than the worst person at your office or the worst person wherever you work.
Well, let's ask Lucas, since he's familiar with that part of it.
No. Come on, Lucas is out there chasing down J.J. Redick, working hard. Didn't work in that regard. I got your back, Lucas.
Thank you.
No one from Duke is ever going to talk crap to anybody on this show as long as I'm in charge of this show. We accept nothing from Dukies. None. And Kentucky. Write that down.
Okay, you got it. Also, I think you're going to hit on Zion later, so you got something for another Dukie coming up.
We do.
How about that?
By the way, you want to talk about eating well. My goodness. But Ja'Marr Chase, he started this year eating so incredibly well. He's got 55 catches, 958 yards, 8 touchdowns. He is an incredibly talented rookie. And after taking the NFL by storm, the league absolutely adjusted. They started doubling him, and it slowed down his production. Since week 8, when Cincinnati beat the Ravens and he looked almost unstoppable in that game, he's been a little bit stoppable. The league makes adjustments. Ja'Marr Chase has not recorded a 100-yard receiving game in over a month. His 6 catches against the Cleveland Browns back in week 9 are the most he's now had in the last 3 weeks. So we'll see if he comes alive in a situation that's almost got his look as good to the Bengals wide receiving core as this game against Portland has to look to the Warriors' backcourt tonight. I mean, it is set up for Ja'Marr Chase to have a big afternoon. What do the 49ers need to do to slow that down? They got to be in Matt Burrow's lap all afternoon. Nick Bosa's going to have a multiple sack game, you would think. Arik Armstead, DJ Jones, they're going to have to make life miserable while keeping Joe Mixon in check. It ain't going to be easy in Cincinnati.
No.
The Bengals are hardly a monster outfit, but they are built to attack what are the glaring weaknesses right now of the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking about Ja'Marr Chase and how teams have adjusted to him. their adjustment has been to basically allow T. Higgins to become a dynamic receiver on the other side. And Boyd is still a quality tight end. You've got Mixon. It's a dynamic offense, but it's not unstoppable because you saw the Chargers with their defense do that a week ago. I mean, all these teams, the reason why they're 7-5, 6-6, 5-7 is that they're inconsistent. At their best, the Chargers are hard to beat. They're not always at their best. And the same is true of the Chargers. The same is true of the 49ers. You know, I mean, there really are only a couple of teams that have put together long runs where they establish who they are to your to your detriment.
You put 6 weeks in a row together this season in the NFL, you're a playoff team.
You're not a playoff team. You're an elite team. You're either the Packers, the Patriots, or Arizona. You know, and maybe Tampa Bay, although they've had a couple of weird, inexplicable losses as well. But for the most part, all the other teams that are talking about the playoffs are teams that you cannot trust week in and week out. You might like them, but you can't love them. And the 49ers are very much one of them.
We're brought to you by BMW Fairfield, now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com. To book your visit today, week 14 in the NFL begins tomorrow night with a game that absolutely matters in terms of the 49ers' playoff chances. You got the Steelers at the 5-7 Vikings. A home loss sends Minnesota to the playoff graveyard. Yes?
No. Because, again, everybody's inconsistent.
This mediocrity will keep them alive.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's essentially it. I mean, it's not pleasant to watch, but it's chaotic to watch, and it is what you get when you keep trying to enforce the parity scheduling. Now, if you're 5-8, you could still end up being 9-8. And in the NFC, for sure, 9-8 gets you in.
Yeah, you're in at 9-8, but it's going to be tough to rally. Four wins in a row. We were just talking about how tough that is. And if you're a mediocre team, looking, you know, banking on that again, graveyard is maybe a little bit too much. But you're circling the cemetery with a home loss to the Steelers if you're the Vikings this tomorrow night.
It would seem, yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to pick an argument. It's just I trust none of these teams. I trust the Steelers exactly as much as I trust the Vikings, which is zero.
If the Jets upset the 5-7 Saints at MetLife Stadium, I don't think we'll be hearing much about New Orleans again. If 6-6 Washington upsets the Cowboys, that could be the single biggest lookout for that team now in your rearview mirror for the 49ers. Washington could be the team that upsets their playoff dreams.
Yeah, and they've done it in the weirdest way possible because nobody would have bet Taylor Heinicke to be a good quarterback.
And no one would have bet their defense to really flex with Chase Young out.
Yeah, but he's only been out, I think, like a week now. So
But he's not playing again.
No. But what I'm saying is you might start seeing their defense erode in time. But Heinicke is the one guy who's been a wild card for them because he runs well, he throws well enough, and while Washington's not a special team, they've got no business being 6-6 with that roster, and yet they are.
Here's an ugly game. I'm talking about a game that not even its mother could really love. 5-7 Falcons against 5-7 Panthers. That game's important again because you got two NFC teams trying to tread water, and the Falcons come to Santa Clara the following week. So that could make things a little bit more interesting than that game looks on its surface right now. And then Monday Night Football gives you the 8-4 Rams at the 10-2 Cardinals. That really isn't going to affect the 49ers playoff shot or chances at all, but Arizona's quest for the one seed can all but cross the finish line with a win in that game.
Maybe, because let's face it, the Packers are going to beat the Bears Sunday night.
Easily.
Because that's the law.
Although Justin Fields...
Just stop.
I'm stopping.
I've been trying to encourage you to give this crusade up. And I'm not talking about the Justin Fields crusade. I'm talking about the Bears having a quarterback crusade.
Yeah, it'll never happen.
No.
It'll never happen.
But if the Packers win, and the Cardinals win, that's still only a game between the two of them because the Packers would be 10-3, Cardinals would be 11-2. So that one might go down to the wire because they are ending up turning out to be better than we thought they were in both cases.
The Eagles are turning out better than we thought that they might. But here they are now with Gardner Minshew on a bye week. So we're not going to see the Eagles, and that's a team that you're still going to have to keep one of your eyes on if you are a 49ers fan thinking, could we be a playoff team? Everyone that is in your, the group of suck?
The group of suck.
Everyone in the group of suck except the Eagles plays this weekend, starting tomorrow night with the Vikings hosting the Steelers. And these are games that if you're a 49er fan, you have to keep tabs on. It's just that simple. You're not in control of your own destiny.
Nobody is.
No one.
And that's the charm of the group of suck. You could suck all you want, but there might be somebody out there who sucks even worse, in which case you remain in the group of suck.
Do you think, and this is not a criticism of D'Amico Ryans, who I don't think you can look at and say, you know, this guy's done a bad job. I don't know how much of a better job with so much secondary attrition Robert Saleh might have done. But having given up 278 points this year, the most in the division, do you think that losing Robert Saleh was a huge blow to this season?
I don't know that Robert Saleh could have been creative enough to hide
right. All
the damage that the injuries have done.
Right. They got problems and beyond Saleh's control.
Yeah. Because I don't think this is about D'Amico Ryan's scheme or the way he wants to play a secondary. I mean, when you are standing before a wall that's crumbling and you're trying to hold up the stucco, you've only got two hands and 2 feet and your forehead. And there have been more holes than that. So, no, this isn't about a coaching thing. I mean, I know it's handy to say, well, who's the coordinator on the side that I don't like? Well, he's got to be fired. Well, no, that's not how it works.
Now, there's only one coach that definitely should have gotten a pink slip this year, and it's Richard Hightower, the special teams coordinator, who I still don't know why he's in the building today. I don't. What is he going to add? I guarantee you a special teams disaster in Cincinnati.
You guarantee me.
I don't know where it's coming from, but it's coming.
Okay.
There will be a fumble. There will be a turnover. There will be a fake punt that they don't pick up. There will be a kick return. There will be a missed field goal. There will be something will go wrong. The only guy I really trust is the punter.
There won't be a fake punt. If there is, yes, there will be a firing. But that card's been played. It's a bingo board. You get one of everything.
Oh.
And you get to yell blackout when you've got all of it done. But Richard Hightower's not going to get fired until the offseason, if then. I mean, at some point, Kyle Shanahan has to recognize that he's got to spend a lot more time on the roster thinking about guys on special teams. And I think he did that earlier. And then he fell in love with Raheem Mostert for perfectly good reason. And it suddenly became slightly less important. I mean, I don't think he ignored it. But I don't think it's a high priority, and it might have to be a higher one. They might have to go out and get a younger kicker. They might have to go out and think about, you know, an explosive returner in the draft. You know, they might have to do some things that will make them dynamic in that area. But, again, I hesitate to look at Richard Hightower and say, aha, you're the reason. All we have to do is get rid of you, and they'll be better. Because I don't think it works that way.
I don't think it fixes anything, but it's accountability that I think Kyle Shanahan demands of his players and not necessarily that one particular element of his team. If he were really angry about this special team's performance, I think something would have happened. I really think that Shanahan is so wrapped up in other things, he doesn't worry about it.
No, I think
it's a blind spot in his coaching resume.
He hasn't shown that he's prioritized it, but I don't think he ignores it. But he keeps all his chewings out private unless it's somebody
Brandon Ayuk.
Who am I thinking
Dante Pettis.
Yeah, I mean, guys who don't perform at all.
See, I mean, but that's a wide receiver. He's extra hard on wide receivers because it's the one position that he actually played at a high level. So I think it's the one thing that he relates to the most.
But it's also the one that could make an offense with Jimmy Garoppolo a little more effervescent. And I think Ayuk let him down early on, either with bad practice habits or showing up out of shape. I don't know what the actual issue was. But there's no value for Kyle Shanahan in sitting a guy with talent unless there's a real good reason for it. And he didn't use him for about 5 or 6 weeks for a reason that I can only assume is that Ayuk didn't come in ready to be better than he was last year. And I'm fine with that. I mean, because at some point, you've got to say, you could be a great player here, but not this way. And I think you've seen in the last few weeks that he's been better because of it. Now, is he a game changer? No, he's a second wide receiver. You know, I mean, he's if you gave me a choice between him and T. Higgins, I'd take T. Higgins every time. But the message was clear, and he got it eventually. Might have taken longer than it should have, but I think he's considered more important to their offense than he was.
Damon Bruce and Ray Ratto coming to you live from the Guardsman Tree Lot down at Fort Mason. We're in the Festival Pavilion. It's a great place to come for all of your holiday needs. And, oh, by the way, if you're interested in the Tree Lot party that is going to go on in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you are single and ready to mingle once again here in the Bay, the worst thing that happens when you get married is the Tree Lot party is no longer available to do the things that you look at it this way. The Tree Lot party would allow you to get down. There is no more getting down once you get married. So there's none of that. There's no more getting down when you're a married man at the Tree Lot party. If you're not a married man, if you're not a married woman, but you'd like to be one day, you might meet the person that you marry at the Tree Lot party. It is a hell of a time. It's the it's one of the best parties of the year. And I promise you, if you're looking for a good time around the Christmas holidays, you should check it out. For all ticketing information and the Tree Lot party on Saturday, December 18th, go to sftreelot.com. It's where you can find all the information you would need about everything that happens here at the Guardsman Tree Lot at the Fort Mason Festival Pavilion. Since 1947, we've been sending Bay Area at-risk youth to summer camp, putting them on scholarship in private schools. This is a good charity. Believe me, you're going to be happy that you came on down and supported. We did give away our one Christmas tree to the first listener to come on down and say, hey, give me a tree. We'll do the same thing again in our 5 o'clock hour. So sticking around, joining us in our 4 o'clock hour, right at 4 o'clock, we're going to say hello to Kaywan Williams of the San Francisco 49ers, Cam Inman at 4:45 this afternoon here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
Again, we're coming to you from the Guardsman Tree Lot. It's wonderful to have you here today. Thanks for stopping on by. And we were going to go inside the 49ers locker room. The original plan was to do that around 4 o'clock, but sometimes you got to call an audible when the corner starts pressing. And the corner has officially come up to the line of scrimmage and started pressing early. Kaywan Williams, presented by Harris Ranch Beef, legendary quality. Kaywan is ready to join us right here and now. And we thank you for your time, Kaywan Williams. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me.
It is good to have you. Thanks for stopping on by. We're going to give you a dozen USDA prime steaks at the end of this bad boy if you stick around. So we'll make it worth your while for sure. Thank you very much for joining us today. And it's going to be, you know, on to Cincinnati, not just metaphorically, but for real for the 49ers. And I'm guessing you want to put that Seattle game far out of your memory, man. That was a real surprise to see it play out that way. How in that afternoon, could you just sense how desperate they were right from the jump when they pulled out that fake right away?
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like both teams were just fighting. The game was just a roller coaster. You know, it was just keep swinging. Both teams would just keep swinging back and forth, and we just fell short. And for us, we just got to keep fighting and just keep moving on to the next week and just keep getting better as we progress towards the end of the season.
Has it become clear that there are a lot of teams in the NFC who are in the same predicament you are, and that the greatest lack that all of you have is that you struggle to be consistent week after week, not in just one area, but just sort of overall, that you can't guarantee this is a game we ought to win or this is a game we're going to struggle in, that maybe everything is just becoming a big pie fight?
Yeah, pretty much for us, we just got to just lock in, and our guys need to execute when our moments are called upon us. So for us, it's more so focused on ourselves and just knowing what type of team we have, knowing what type of locker room, knowing the type of character we have in our locker room, and being able to just lock in and being focused and dominate and execute out there.
K'Juan Williams joining us from the San Francisco 49ers. And I know that whenever we talk to whoever we've spoken to week after week, they've always put on the brave face and the positive attitude and said that there's no dissension in that locker room. Everyone is pulling on the rope in the same direction. And I tell you, it doesn't feel like player speak. It feels genuine. It feels true. I know it's been a frustrating year for you guys. How have you maintained the positivity through another, again, kind of frustrating up and down year with injuries, especially dotting the group that you belong to in the secondary?
Just the belief in our roster, you know, having the next man step up. You know, guys went down, linebackers went down. Fred went down last week, and we had guys like Aziz stepped up. Flanagan came in and did a good job. Our D-line is playing phenomenal. DJ Jones, those guys have been hunting up front. So for us, you know, we believe in our work throughout the week and our process. So none of our guys fall short in the confidence category, and we just go out there and just try to execute. It doesn't matter who's out there. We still got full faith that they can go out there and execute our plan.
Every single member of the Niners secondary at one point in time has had to miss a little time due to an injury this season. Where have you felt that lack of continuity the most? Is it when, you know, Jimmy Ward goes out? Because it feels like an awful lot gets played through him. He's kind of like the safety valve as a captain now. He's got all that experience. Man, you know, look at it. I remember when you were just a rookie. Now you're one of the most experienced corners on this team.
Yeah, I mean, our room is full of knowledge and full of vets. I feel like everybody has a key part for our defense, whether it's Jimmy Ward being our leader, our racer back there, whether it's Kwaski, he's seen a lot of football. He can get us lined up correctly. And just anybody out there, E-Man, he's developed into a fine young corner. So we're just confident in our guys, and it doesn't matter who's out there. We still have to execute in terms of communication and getting guys on the same page. So we never really feel any kind of way about injuries or so. You know, it happens. It's football. But we just still got to go out and do it.
Based on what you've seen so far from looking at video of Cincinnati, what is it that they do differently than maybe the other offenses you've seen? Are they unique in any way, or is it simply just another offense with some talented people that you've got to be able to monitor?
It's just full of young talent. They got a lot of guys on the outside. You know, Tyler Boyd in the slot. They have Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and they got a great tight end and a young quarterback. So those guys got a lot of talent. It's a talented group. For us, we got our work cut off with us, so we just got to lock in and just be focused on our keys and just being able to execute at a high level on both sides of the ball, three phases.
K'Juan, what is the difference between a cornerback and a slot cornerback in terms of what you think really separates the skill sets from the other? A right corner, a left corner, and the guy in the slot. What makes the guy in the slot different from another corner?
You have to be really aware, because you're going to have run fits, whether it's throughout every gap, pretty much from A, B to C, all the way outside. You got to be a great tackler. You got to have great instincts. And being able to communicate with your guys on the same page. And you just got to be that spark for the defense if it's needed. You know, being able to step up in there, mixing it up with the big guys, and being able to be great on the edges also.
Well, you're going to have a big guy lining up across from you in the slot. Like you said, there's an awful lot of talk about Ja'Marr Chase, who's had a great rookie year. T. Higgins is a problem. Tyler Boyd is pretty much the man that you need to shut down. What is he, 6'2", 6'3"? He's a really big guy. What have you seen from him on tape? What makes him get loose?
I mean, he's a phenomenal slot receiver. He went to Pitt, so did I. He was there also. So we've been competing against each other for a while. I like how he's developed over the years. He's shifty. He can run all the routes in the slot. He's pretty good. I like his game. Just being able to be his teammate and just being able to compete against him in the few years we have won against each other, it should be exciting.
By the way, hell of a year for Pitt, huh?
Yeah, man. You know, ACC Coastal.
There you go. You think you got maybe a Heisman Trophy winner in your quarterback?
I hope so. I like him. I like him a lot.
You talked about Tyler Boyd and being a guy you've played with. Does it get weird when you're like prepping for him, you see him before the game, you might say hello, and then you immediately have to go into shutdown mode? I mean, is there something that feels odd about that? Have you ever had experiences where you've been going against a guy who you've known for a long time? Or can you just shut it on and shut it off?
Oh, not really. You know, once we're out there, we're both trying to execute our job, so we're not really thinking about our past relationship or whatever we done had before being teammates. So we're just trying to help our teams win. So once we're out there, we're just trying to compete.
Is it easy to do that, though?
It is. It is.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So it's Queen City Chili. There's an awful lot of talk about this controversial plate where it's like spaghetti with chili on it. It kind of looks like dog food. Do you have anything positive or negative to say about Cincinnati's cuisine?
No, absolutely not. You know,
no bulletin board material, huh?
No, nothing.
Well, I tell you what, we don't want to have you eating what looks like that at any point in time. So what we're going to do, K1, is our friends at Harris Ranch Beef are going to surprise you with a dozen USDA prime steaks. They are absolutely delicious, over 10.5 pounds. I don't know if at the end of any interview you've ever been handed like half a cow before, but that's what we're going to do for you. Thank you very much for joining us, and want to wish you, your entire family, not just your football family, but your real family, a very Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays coming up.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for having me, and Merry Christmas to you guys, too.
Thank you very much. K1 Williams of the 49ers here on 95.7 The Game. We told you he was going to come up at 4 o'clock, but there he was right there. When the corner presses, you got to acknowledge.
Yeah, they don't care about what times we have. They show up when they show up. They get their meat and then they leave. We're ships in the night.
So when you're on a beat as a journalist and you're friends with someone else who is on the same beat, do you feel a little competition there? Kind of like two guys who play in the NFL but went to the same college?
I don't know that it manifests itself that way, because I'm not trying to cover a story against him. I'm trying to cover it as best I can. And if he gets me on a fact, he gets me on a fact. But at some point it's not about that, because either way you're going to end up drinking with the guy at the end of the day.
Now, I know you are. Hold on. Let me welcome everyone to your 4 o'clock hour before we do something to Ray that he hates the most.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.